Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to FSCom's latest webinar on wind down planning. So everything you should know about drafting a wind down plan, and we're going to learn from the Dutch experience this afternoon. So look, my name is Elaine Tai, and I'm the marketing manager in FSCom and organizer of today's webinar. So just to start off, a little bit of housekeeping before I introduce the panelists here today. If you have any technical difficulties with audio or viewing the webinar, please refer to the confirmation email you would have received. Also, if you have any issues, feel free to private message me in the chat area at the side, or email marketing@fscom.co.uk, and the team there will pick it up. So you've all joined the webinar in listen-only mode, which means you are muted on entry. But we would encourage you please to use the opportunity to ask questions at the side by the chat forum, and we'll endeavour to answer them all. And if we can't answer them all today, we will come back to them after the session. So look, finally, without further ado, I'm going to introduce our presenters for this afternoon's session. We have Alison Donnelly, Colin Sloan, and Paul Greets. So Alison, I'll hand over to you now, and I'll put myself on mute. Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine. At FSCom, we're really pleased to be able to bring you this webinar today. The current crisis has, of course, brought the very real possibility that financial services may go out of business, and that's been brought to the fore. The FCA's very brief consultation on the temporary guidance of safeguarding also included confirmation of a requirement to have wind down plans in place, and that's raised the questions from our clients as to what is involved in these wind down plans. Look, FSCom is really keen to bring you the best in experience and skills. That's what we're known for. And so that's why we're delighted to have partnered with Paul Geertz and his team. They are the foremost consultants on recovery and exit strategies in the Netherlands. They've helped many payment and e-money institutions in the Netherlands to produce them there. And so we're delighted to be able to benefit from his expertise and bring that to bear for our UK-based clients. I'm going to pass over to Paul, who's going to introduce himself much better than I can do. Colin and I will be joining the presentation in a little bit, and we'll be joining the question and answer session at the end. So for now, we'll say goodbye and hand over to Paul.
Thank you, Alison. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm looking forward to this webinar together with you, and I hope you you can have an interactive session with a lot of questions from your side. Well, Alison already shared a couple of my experiences. In the last couple of years, we've been working very much on recovery and exit plan, as we call it in the Netherlands, which is in concept the same thing as a wind down plan. I will get to that in a minute. We've done multiple of these plans for payment institutions, electronic money license institutions, but also for banks and some market infrastructure bodies. And I'm happy to share that information and some experiences with you, some lessons learned that we have from this. Yeah, and I hope you feel inspired to to start on your own plan after the session. If you allow me, I would like to go to the next point and share with you what we're going to discuss. I'll give you a short background on the wind down plan together with Alison, explain you a bit about the concept, what it is, what you should put in there, share some specific lessons learned from our Dutch situation with the institutions that we supported. And then later on, Colin and Alison will come back on the question and answers. You can raise your questions and we'll give you an answer. To start off with the background, I would just want to like to briefly take you back in history. We'll do it short because it was one of the previous crises already. Well, some years ago, more than 10 years ago, we had, of course, a financial crisis. And at some point, the financial regulators noticed that it wasn't very helpful that that a bank could collapse, and then after one weekend you had to decide on what to do with a bank, and you didn't have a clue on what the bank looked like or how you can split it up into a bad bank and a good bank, and what is important for society, what is its core activities and what is not. So at some point they decided to create what they've called a recovery and resolution planning. They first started with the global systematically important banks, and then later on also national banks came into play. In the UK, it was also referred as the living will. That was the starting point of this kind of concepts, like you need to think beforehand already what can happen to you in case of an issue, if you get into distress situations. What is important in your activities, what should continue, because otherwise society will get harmed or consumers will get harmed. So what is important and what is not that important, and you can split off at some more point. So banks started first to do that exercise, and later on also other types of market infrastructure parties, like for instance the exchanges need to do make these kind of documents. And this concept works and supported some, I think, all in the years after the crisis, really supported the supervisors to take up their role and also to minimize the impact of banks collapsing. And at some point, the Dutch Central Bank was supervising on the financial industry in the Netherlands. And in that sense, it's comparable also partly with the FCA. The Dutch Central Bank decided that also the payment industry is a crucial element of the society in the Netherlands. And when looking at the industry, they saw that there were a lot of players active in the market, and that in that sense, the feeling was that some were at risk in terms of their business model. They were not having a viable business model, and there were too many in the market. And although growth was expected, the number of firms was, in their view, a bit too high. So what they decided to do is that they also asked all the institutions that are licensed for payment, they asked them to create a recovery and exit plan. And every firm was obliged. And that started in 2017. So as of 2017, we have been working on these kind of plans. Initially for all the firms that were already licensed, but nowadays it's also part of the license process. So if you want to enter the Dutch market, and then the Dutch market is your first point where you enter, you need to come up next to all the other PSD2 requirements, you also need to come up with a recovery and exit plan. So since this time, we've been working on these kind of documents. And now the FCA comes into play. And I think, Alison, that's a good point where you can highlight the UK situation.
Thank you, Paul. Yes. So our story here starts back in May 2016 when the FCA published a guidance consultation. It was called GC16.5, and that was to give guidance on wind down plans. What they were saying at the time was that they'd been requested by regulated firms and professional advisors to give guidance because they had been giving individual guidance and guidance in a sort of prudential forum, but there hadn't been anything coherently put together and published. So this was like an approach document, what they expected to see. Now it was non-binding guidance, that was very clear. It's now in December it was finalized, and December 2016, it was finalized, it's put in the handbook, it's guidance, it doesn't create the obligation to have a wind down plan. And in addition to that, it was aimed at FCA solo regulated firms. It wasn't aimed at who are authorised under FSMA. So at that time, it wasn't aimed at payment and e-money institutions who are, of course, not authorised under FSMA. Then we skip forward to September last year, and there was a consultation on our framework assessing adequate financial resources, which is CP 1920. And that was setting out the context for assessing adequate financial resources, what the FCA was looking for and what firms should be doing. And it included a brief section on wind down planning. Now, that consultation was applicable to payment and e-money institutions because, of course, the principles for businesses was put into application for payment and e-money institutions from the summer of 2019. So that consultation has actually just concluded with a finalised guidance being published just last week. And in that guidance, the FCA is emphasising that they are recommending and encouraging a best practice approach to manage the risks of disorderly failure rather than imposing additional requirements, making wind down planning mandatory. Nonetheless, that's slightly at odds to the wording that was included in the consultation on the temporary guidance for payment and e-money institutions on safeguarding, which, as you'll all know, was published on the Friday afternoon of the bank holiday weekend in May, the last one in May, and had a 2-week consultation turnaround, which was subsequently extended to 3 weeks. So we haven't had that guidance finalised, but of course in there it says that in the consultation version it says the conditions for authorisation require a firm to satisfy us that they have effective procedures to manage any risks to which they might be exposed. We are now clarifying that as part of satisfying us that they have such procedures, we require firms, that's payment institutions and e-money institutions, to have a wind down plan to manage their liquidity and resolution risks. So if that guidance is published, if it's finalised as it is in the consultation, then there is a very definite obligation on payment and e-money institutions to have a wind down plan. And so that is, of course, why we are getting lots of questions from our clients and why we've brought Paul into our team to help us answer those questions and to help us help you develop your own wind down plans. Paul.
Thank you, Alison. Let's start off with, you already mentioned the FCA and the final guidance. So I wanted to start with a short text of their the first chapter, and it, I think it's showing you the focus of the supervisor. I'm not going to read out everything aloud, and you may already have read it yourself, but it's explaining why you have this what the purpose is of this financial resources request that they're doing. And I have highlighted the number of times that they've mentioning wind down, and this was only chapter one, the first part of the text. And I've highlighted in the bold black bold part why they are doing this and what their main focus is if they will read the wind down plans, what their focus will be. And it's really about making sure that the financial system, of course, still will continue to work. And consumers are protected, or clients are protected. It's not sometimes not only about consumers, but also about merchants. But the idea is to minimize harm in that sense. And I think, and that's why I made the words wind down a blue in this sense. It's interesting to see that only already in the first chapter they're really stressing on wind down, wind down, wind down. I can imagine, given this crisis, that it is a good instrument for them to use, of course. But I think in general, so it's a good thing to have as a firm, and it really fits in doing a proper business as a financial institution. So I think this highlights what the supervisor is looking at. If we're talking about wind down plan, of course, I would like to go through some of the essentials and the concept of it. Maybe to start off, when are we talking about a wind down plan and how far things going? So what you can see here, and I hope you have the right colors on your screen, is that you can see the performance of a firm going up and down. Hopefully everything is still in business as usual mode, even despite the crisis that we just had. At some point, if things get a bit worse, you might come into a situation where you are more alert on what's happening. At some point, if things get worse and more worse, then you really are maybe already taking some actions to recover from this situation, either cost cutting or try different ways of attracting revenue. Or attracting capital, etc. Thereby, of course, still with the idea to recover from the situation and to go back to a business as usual mode and going concern mode. But if you at some point would fail, and of course we never hope that this will happen, but sometimes it happens, and it always happens to someone in the market. If that all would fail, then at some point you reach a moment in time where you need to decide about, I need to exit my company, I need to wind down, and that's specifically the moment where the FCA is expecting that you have a plan at hand, which tells you what to do, and what to do to make sure that you still can continue a couple of services, that you can still comply to your regulation, but in such a way that it will, well, limit your cost and that you can have a proper wind down with no harm for consumers, with no harm for counterparties, and with, well, as less as possible harm for the society. And you need to keep track on the performance of your company in that sense. And of course, you probably will be doing that every day. But they expect you to also explain how you do this and what indicators you are looking at. But this is in basic the concept of when you get into a wind down, it's really about closing down the business, liquidating instead of recovering from it. And as you may recall, I mentioned for the Dutch practice, we're talking about recovery and exit plan. There we have to do both. We need to write down a recovery plan, assuming that you can recover with some good measures. And in case that it doesn't happen, you go into an exit mode. Well, here the FCA just makes a distinction between you need to be alert and do something, act upon it. And if you fail, or if the measures fail, I would say, then you need to go into a wind down. They also are very explicit on what kind of indicators you should look at if you track the performance of your company. And so a highlighter are four that are explicitly mentioned by the FCA. Of course, you need to look at your profitability, because in the end, if you're not a profitable business, then you don't have a viable business model. So that's a very important one. And profitability is sometimes the best trigger of the best indicator. Sometimes the volume is even a more precise one, or a more forecasting one, predictive one. So you need to look at your revenue side. You need to look, of course, to your capital side, and you need to look to liquidity, to your cash position. And as you might know also from generic economic theory, most companies in the end do not get bankrupt because they are have a lack of capital, but most of the time they have a lack of liquidity. So at those indicators you need to look at, and within the indicator you can create your own definition and monitor that in your management information. So that's for the basic concept of the wind down plan. And then I would suggest to continue. You will need to describe the plan from a current situation. And in the current situation, hopefully you're still in, I'm going back for a second. You're still in a business as usual phase, or in a more, let's say, an area where you think you can still recover. To look at how it could be in a wind down situation, you need to create some scenarios which bring you into this wind down situation to blow specific thresholds on this on the indicators. And to look at scenarios, you need to you can think about a couple of aspects that you can take into account. On one hand, you can look at scenarios which are happening very fast, like a fraud incident or a shareholder that is withdrawn, or in a lockdown, as we have seen, that might be a very fast scenario which is immediately impacting the business in terms of, for instance, revenues and liquidity. So that's a potential side for you can look for a scenario. On the other hand, you can also look at scenarios that are more gradual, and that that over time give you extra and extra conditions to make it hard. And to give you some examples, let's say if you're depending on one or two specific industries, and within these industries a couple of large players getting into trouble, financial trouble, that might in the longer term also harm you as a firm and as an institution. So but then the impact, immediate impact of, let's say, one client going bankrupt might not be that negative, but for the longer term you might be hit by this. I think also in that sense, the COVID-19 crisis is an interesting topic, an interesting example in that sense. On one hand, it has a pretty fast impact in terms of the lockdown, where you, for instance, if you have branches, you need to close them immediately. But it might also have a longer term impact if you look at your client side and in the industries that you're servicing. The FCA is expecting that you will run a couple of scenarios and so that you can model how you will come into a wind down and then and you can describe what you should do in the wind down. And to go specific to the wind down plan, so there is a point in time where you will reach and that you need to see we're reaching the wind down status and we need to decide that we're going into wind down. That's been measured by an indicator and on the indicator you put a threshold and at some point you need to decide okay I've hit the threshold, I need to go into a wind down scenario and I need to then start picking up my plan that I've described and then and the first step is then to inform the FCA that you will go into a wind down. The idea then is that you, of course, go back to an operational core operational mode as soon as possible. And how fast it can be is depending very much on your specific situation, your services that you offer, the contracts that you have, etc. But the idea is, of course, that you would go back to a company which is as minimal as possible. In this period of time, you need to make sure that you are capable of finishing all the services that you do. And you need to refund customers if you have money of customers. If your clients ask you to, or have asked you in the past to transfer money on behalf of them, you still need to transfer those money that you received from them and still finish the payments. If you have, for instance, loans, then you still need to make sure of find a way to get repaid either or sell it in that sense. But you still need to be open for business, but as minimal as possible. This period of being operational can be quite long, can be quite short, depending very much on your business. At some point in time, you probably have will have finished all the operational things that are related to your specific services, and then you have reached the point where you can return your permission to the FCA. As of that moment, you cannot perform the financial services anymore. And the FCA is expecting that at the point in time where you start a wind down plan that you're already informing them also on when you expect to deliver back the permission. After the permission, you can still have a couple of things you need to do. It can be other contractual agreements that you need to do. It can be handing over to a liquidator, the administration, for instance, all kinds of other things that you need to do. It can be also other types of business that are not on the license of the FCA and that you still need to close a couple of these things. But at some point, you also will probably close the company and liquidate. The idea here is that you liquidate in terms of not being kept with a debt and going bankrupt, but really have a proper situation so that that there will not be too many debts left. The main question that you need to answer in the wind down plan is that how much, what will you do in all these things? And they would like to see that pretty operationalized. And they want an answer on the question, how long will it take you to do that? And what they already stated themselves is that don't think that you can do it fast. Be realistic in this sense. And really think very thoroughly on all the steps that you need to take. So they've stated already that that they expect that a 9-month period is a realistic period. But again, of course, it's depending on your type of services, your type of business, your relationship with your clients and your counterparties. What you need to describe in the wind down plan is, of course, it's written down in the guidance. So I would like to pick up a couple of these things to point out specifically. Besides writing down what you will do in this period of wind down and what kind of steps you will take to really come to this core, you will also need to write down how you fund this period in time. Because you go into a wind down because your financial situation is not that well anymore, Nevertheless, you need to make sure that you have sufficient resources to pay for this wind down period. So if you have if you need 9 months of period, and you still within these 9 months need some housing, some people, some systems, etc., you need to make sure that you have enough funding to cover all these costs. And therefore, they also state that you need to have a realistic trigger to start a solvent wind down, and also the trigger should not be too low, because you should have sufficient time to do these things and to make sure that you have sufficient time to do it properly. So on one hand, the trigger should not be too low, because then you would have you would not be able to pay for everything. On the other hand, of course, it's not the idea to put it too high, because then you could already be forced to go into a wind down while you think you still have a viable business model. So you need to find a good moment there, of a good position there. And especially for instance, for startup companies or scale up companies, there's quite a challenge to find a good thresholds which set which help you in how do you call it, in making sure that you don't go too fast in the wind down, but still is a makes it a clear, rational decision. But you also need to take into account, especially if you have merchants as a counterparties, is that you that they will get time to move to a different provider. For instance, if you are supporting payments transactions of web shops, for instance, and the web shop is the only is only using you as a provider, they probably need some time to transfer to another provider, and you are expected to make sure that you will give them that time. So you cannot close your services at day one, so you need to give them, let's say, 2 or 4 weeks time to move. The exact time that you need to give them is depending on how many other competitors are there, how long does it take to transfer, how long does it take to, for a web shop to move to a different competitor, to a different provider. You need to make that analysis also in your report. And of course, you're also expected to write down a couple of actions on what you can do or what you will do to limit this period and to really push people towards other clients. So you're also expected to think about, what can I do to make this process easier for our counterparty, for our merchants. You need to think of those kind of elements, everything that in that sense is helping, is supporting you to shorten this wind down period. And the last thing you need to be aware of, and also need to describe in the plan, is of course, you need to share information or hand over information to an administrator or a liquidator. There are of course some regulatory requirements with respect to archiving and keeping information, and those of course also you need to take into account when winding down. To write all these things down, the FCA has given you is giving a couple of assessments and analysis that they expect. So they expect, for instance, an impact assessment. So what is the impact on the stakeholders of the company, meaning counterparties, meaning employees, meaning clients, etc. You need to make an operational analysis in which you describe what you will do during the wind down. You need to describe your communication plan, both internally and externally, and you need to describe, you need to make a resource assessment. A resources here is not only human resources, but it also is also money, and it can also be third-party resources that you need. What you see in this visual is that all in all, it's quite it can be quite extensive plan. We've created for the Dutch situation a template which we've used quite often, and we've now adjusted this template together with FSCom to use it also in the FCA situation. And it's I can imagine that you cannot read everything out, but it's giving you a flavor of how detailed this plan should be. At last, some attention points before I go to our lessons learned on the experience. Some extra attention points. One of them is that the plan that you will submit to the FCA needs to be approved by the governing bodies internally. And if, for instance, if you write down that you that extra liquidity will be provided by a shareholder, for instance, then of course also the shareholder needs to approve that plan. So you need to be aware that whatever you submit to the FCA is approved internally. What you also should be aware of is that the indicators that you choose and the thresholds that you set on these indicators, so that you can track whether you need to go and wind down or not, those indicators should also be part of your management information. And the FCA probably will also come up with new requirements in your management information that you can always report on the on those indicators once you have set them. What you also need to be aware of is that and this wind down plan is in my view a very good exercise, but of course the situation can change. The company can change, the market can change, so you need to make sure that you update this on a regular basis. We advise you to do that on a yearly basis. You also need to describe this process in that sense in the document itself. And what you of course need to be aware of is, and that's why I mentioned also giving back the permission of the FCA, you need to make sure of course that also during wind down, you still need to comply to regulations. And it can be reporting regulations, that can be privacy regulations, it can be all kinds of regulations, you still need to comply. Specifically on the approval part, I think it's good to mention that, and it's not stated in the FCA documents, but it's it has to do with the liabilities. In the end, the supervisor will expect that you will act upon your plan if you have this plan in place. So if you have a plan and at some point you would need to, or you would go into wind down, the supervisor is expecting that you will use the plan. And of course, at that point in time, you can still make some small adjustments depending on the specific situation. And it can be because something brought you to the crisis, which is not in scenario, or something has changed in the last year in the firm, which has not been written down in the plan yet. But they expect you to pick up the plan and execute. So in that sense, it also is given extra a reason why senior management should be involved in writing the plan and also in approving the plan. Finally, some lessons learned. From our Dutch experience, we've seen that the clients where we worked with is that they all like this to do this. At first, they think, I need to do another regulatory requirement. Why do I need to create some extra paperwork? But having these discussions on the plan, you notice that they also see the positive side from it, because you get a good feeling about the drivers in your firm. You get a good feeling on what you can do in case you get into trouble. And what everyone in the end also understands is that it's good that you have something like a plan in place in case you will get into the situation. Because in the end, if you get into in a distress situation, you probably have a lot of things on your mind. And then it is really helpful to have something already available for you so that you don't need to start thinking about everything at that point in time. In that sense, you can compare it to a business continuity plan. It's very useful to already think about a couple of things up front, so that at that point in time you can focus on solving the issue and making the right steps, and not about what kind of steps do I need to take. So that's the positive side note. What I've also seen is that in terms of lesson learned is that it's very good to do it together with representatives of the business areas, from different business areas. And if you've seen in the examples that I've given you throughout the story, and you need input from all the parties. You need input from financial side, but you also need input from for instance, operational side, et cetera. And it's good to involve them all. That is making your plan better and gives more quality. In that sense, and then I'm going from right to left, I think it's best to take this seriously at first time, and to prevent rework, because what you can expect is that the FCA, when they have the plan, that when they receive the plan, they will of course read it, they will compare, and they then will probably raise questions in case they think that you didn't do it well, or if you have did not specify everything they would expect. So in that sense, I always prefer to do the first time right. What I also would suggest is to state a couple of key messages. Create a strategy on your wind down, what you will do, what kind of actions you will take, and use those choices that you make, use that also to describe a bit about the current situation, use it also in the scenarios. So use some key messages that along the story will show you that you really thought about it, and that you, in that sense, will also be in control in times of a wind down. With regard to the indicators and the thresholds that you need to set and the scenario that you need to make to show you in what condition you will be when you go into a wind down, you need to create a financial model. It's very easy to use a model which is based on a monthly basis, because then it gives you much more flexibility to, for instance, reduce cost, define your core operation, and adjust that model. So if I were you, I would always use monthly data. In terms of indicators and scenarios, it's always good to also have think this very thoroughly through. And if you do that, you probably will notice that you only need a couple of scenarios, because in the end, every scenario will of a lot of scenarios will have the similar type of impact. So therefore, you can limit the number of scenarios, but still you can show that you've considered a lot. And in terms of limiting the number of indicators, that is on one hand wise, because then you don't need to adjust your management information that much. But it's also because every threshold that you will hit in with an indicator of every threshold that is hit can bring you to a wind down. And even if you write down, I need two indicators that will be hit before going in the wind down. If you have a lot of indicators, you have more chance of getting into into that kind of situation where you don't want to get into. And in that sense, I think it's good to remember that if you're hitting thresholds, you always and you will not go into wind down or if you decide not to go in wind down, you still need to explain to the FCA why you didn't do anything with the threshold. And the last one is that what we have also seen is that it helps to be realistic, and that is with refer to the, for instance, the period that you will, that the wind down phase will take, but it will also have to do with, for instance, if you think that you're going to sell some specific parts of your company, that you need to be realistic on how much you will get for it. Or if you will reduce cost, how fast you can reduce cost. Yeah, and all these kind of things, I think, I would ask you to be realistic and not optimistic. I think, with this, I hope I've shared all my my learnings from our Dutch experience, and I've also explained to you a bit about the concept of the wind down plan and what you need to do with the FCA. So I suggest that we go to the Q&A.
Well, thank you, Paul. I think that was incredibly insightful and useful, so thank you. Just to introduce myself, I'm Colin Stone, the Senior Manager at FSCon, and I have the privilege of chairing the Q&A panel, so it's nice to be asking questions for once rather than just answering them. We'll see, we've got quite a number of questions to go through, so we'll try to get through as many as we can. Alison, why don't I direct this one to you. I suppose in our experience, firms that we deal with are so focused on making their business succeed that the prospect of winding down is at the back of their mind. With that in mind, I mean, how much time is needed to draft a wind down plan? And can you maybe give us a bit of insight in terms of how much detail should go into the plan?
Of course, yeah, and like it's an entirely understandable position for firms to take. They're focused on, as you say, on making the business work. Nobody wants to think about the horrible negative scenarios, but I think that's precisely why the FCA is at least meaning or wanting to insist that a wind down plan be put in place, because of course we all know that the decisions we make when we're calmer and have the opportunity to consider options are better than those that are made in the rush. And so I think that you're asking about how long it takes to draft a plan. Clearly, as you can see from what Paul has said, there are a number of various bits of information that have to be considered. There's information and data that has to be gone through and pulled together. There will be things that have to be discussed amongst a fairly wide group of stakeholders. So it can take time. Paul's team are very efficient at this process. They have pulled together a lot of work already, and so they're able to bring it together in 2.5 weeks. But I think that's probably, you know, that's working at it at a good tilt. So I would expect a firm that's having to do it internally by themselves, it might take a little bit longer. And it's just really to emphasise that it does take a lot of senior management involvement and input. In terms of how detailed the FCA expects it to be, again, that's one of those kind of questions, how long's a piece of string? But, you know, it has to be, you can see how much detail we've set out for the sort of scope that Paul has shown there. It's got to be detailed enough that it's useful. There's no point brushing over issues, and again, to the point that it's better to make your decisions when you've got some time to reflect on options rather than in the rush. So the more detail that you can put in there, the more helpful it's likely to be. But of course, we've got to weigh that up against situations being, you know, in cases case by case and relatively unique. You know, you're not going to be able to pin down everything that might happen on all eventualities. I mean, who really thought about the pandemic? You know, it was always on the possibility list, but you know, nobody actually put this much thought into the planning as we now realize. So it's the balance is in between, but I think the FCA in terms of looking at it have set a very clear agenda that they want to see a wind down plan, and so they're going to be looking at it to make sure that it's useful and reasonable.
Great, thank you. Maybe a question now for you, Paul, that we've had. So this question asks, we only do money remittance and can close our business within a day. Why does the FCA expect such a long time frame? So I think this question's coming from the context of a money remitter where they're not holding client money for very long. They don't offer payment accounts. So why in that case do you think the FCA expect a long time frame?
No, I think I can imagine that this type of firm is thinking, why do I need 9 months? And I think also the FCA was not specifically pointing at this type of firms for the 9 month period, but they want you to really create a realistic view on how much time is spent. So it might indeed, you can think already, tomorrow I can stop doing remittances, take new requests for transferring. In that sense, it might look easy. Of course, you still need to transfer all the requests that you've done, or you need to still execute all the payments accepted. That can, of course, take some time. But you also need to think about, of course, the other contractual agreements that you have. You need to be aware, of course, that you still need to report on specific things, also in the days and the weeks after your business. So even if you close down today, you still need to finish up some reports, make some checks, etc. So already that is continuing in business. So in that sense, I can imagine that these kind of firms are thinking about a shorter period. But I think that if you really would detail what we need to do, how we need to communicate, etc., that you can imagine that it will take a bit more time than just one day. So you need to find an optimum there, and where you still buy properly close your all your businesses.
Thank you. So yeah, it will obviously be dependent on the nature and size of the business, but I suppose in any case, one day isn't going to be adequate. Alison, one for you. I suppose we've mentioned the FCA guidance on assessing adequate financial resources that mentions the wind down, and then also you pointed out that the safeguarding consultation also talks about the wind down planning. The FCA, as far as I'm aware, don't give a deadline in either of those documents. For firms that are wanting to get started on this, what would you recommend in terms of time scales for getting it done?
Yeah, and just to re-emphasise, the obligation for payment and e-money institutions is, as currently, it's still just a suggestion. It's not an obligation. It's only if the FCA finalise the guidance and include that, that it becomes the obligation and the expectation. There's nothing to suggest they won't agree that, but of course, at this stage, it's still in the consultation mode and not finalised. That being said, we know that there are firms being asked for their wind down plans now, and those are firms that have clearly had to be clear about their financial situation. And of course, that's very much brought to the fore by the economic crisis that is beginning and will undoubtedly, you know, impact more and more as we progress through the summer months and into the second half of the year. So I think this is something that the FCA will be looking for and asking for. And what we do know as well is that the FCA have beefed up their supervision team even further, specifically for payments. They've created a rapid response team, and we know that they are trawling through information that payment and e-money institutions have provided, and they are asking direct questions. And so it doesn't take much of a leap of imagination to see that they will start asking firms that they think are on the borderline, or that there's something about their business that they're worried about, to see the wind down plan. So, you know, I would say make good use of this time now, because it's a bit of a respite before the obligation comes in. Don't think the FCA is unrealistic. You know, they appreciate that it's going to take a number of weeks to pull this together, but there will be an expectation that that kind of document comes to hand, and it's more useful now than in a month or two's time when it might be too late.
That's really helpful, thank you. Paul, another question for you. I think so obviously for payment and e-money institutions, they already have capital requirements to meet under the respective regulations. This obligation for a wind down plan, do you think one of the implications of wind down planning is that firms must have additional capital requirements beyond that minimum set by the regulations?
Well, in the Netherlands, I have experienced this indeed. It's depending, of course, very much on your type of business. But what I've seen in the Netherlands is that if you look at everything in terms of cost and capital that you need for your wind down period. You need to make sure, and at that point, I'll try to rephrase this. For one of the firms, we made a calculation on how much money is needed for a proper wind down period. And what we saw is that, taking into account everything, that the capital requirement in that sense was not sufficient. And therefore, also the supervisor decided to increase the capital requirement a bit, so that they would also always know that you would have enough capital available for this wind down period. So in that sense, depending on the type of business, yes, it can lead to extra additional capital requirements. But my expectation is, given the requirements that I know from the FCA, I think there is only a limited part of institution that will face that, but it's something to keep in mind when you decide on the indicators and when you decide on the thresholds, and also if you make a good analysis on of a good assessment on the resources, as the FCA call it.
And can I add in there, you know, we work with clients across the broad spectrum, and there's many clients who are well capitalized and have sufficient buffer in their inbuilt anyway. But what we do know is obviously that the SEA, as you know, hasn't been particularly directive to firms in what capital requirements they hold. So for payment institutions to date, you know, there's very few that have been told which method. They've been allowed to make their own choices to which method to use. And the FCA has the scope to increase the capital buffer by 20%. And there's very few cases where they've done that. So I think this will be a little different to firms, but it's definitely something to watch, that requirement may well be imposed by the FCA, or they'd be strongly encouraged to add the additional capital.
Great. Thank you. I suppose that makes this all the more imperative for firms. Just looking through the questions here. So another question, I think, for you, Paul. This question asks, we have a few business lines. Do we just do the wind down plan for the whole business, or are we just concerned with the payments e-money part of the business? So this is considering a firm with a sort of regulated part and an unregulated part.
Yeah, that's well, in the end, very much depending on the specific legal entity structure and what has been done within the entity which is licensed. So there is no simple answer to that. In some cases, you need to, if you have multiple activities, but you have one within one entity that is licensed, then you also need to take into account the other activities that you have, because that can also help you in reducing cost, or also from that part, that will be part of the liquidation in that sense. Sometimes if the activities are in different in legal entities, it still can be the case that that there is some kind of financial, how do you call it, relation that you need to take into account in the wind-up plan. So it's very difficult to give a simple simple one-liner on this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Colin, sorry, I'm just coming on there. I think look, any questions that we haven't got to, I think we'll follow up afterwards, if you don't mind. And look, just watching the time, I wanted to thank you all for your attention this afternoon, and to you, Paul, for your deep dive into the wind down planning and your experience, and to Alison and Colin as well for helping answer some of your questions today. So look, we'll follow up on those we didn't get to, and we'll share the recording in the follow-up email. But if you have any other further questions, please feel free to reach out to any of our panelists here this afternoon. So look, in finishing up, thank you, enjoy the rest of your day, take care and stay safe, everyone.